This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will.
Wednesdays with Wally is presented by Deltec Timber Corporation, a publicly owned natural resources company headquartered right here in Arkansas. Learn more at chenal.com.
Set the gun there a little bit. Welcome into the zone in the Fury Electric studio, the comfy confines. Well, I did like 12 road shows in a row, I think. It was weird sitting here yesterday and being in the studio. It seemed like a foreign place.
This is the first time that I've done a show with you that I've crossed paths with Tommy and David and Roger.
Yeah, they...
Because you're just on the road all the time. You're like a driver.
I know it. That's true. They're and they're here a lot. So
you're a nomad.
I am. I'm a loner, Dottie, a rebel.
Are you comfortable today?
I am, extremely. I'm glad you're here. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Today we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, mostly college football with Wally, and we're going to talk some NFL football at the bottom of this hour with Michael Schotte of BleacherReport.com. He is our NFL guy, so we'll visit with him about the first week of games. Did you watch any NFL this weekend? I know you're not an NFL guy.
I'm not a big NFL guy, but I did watch, of course, I watched the Cowboys.
Surely you watched Chip Kelly, because that's close enough to a college game.
I watched that. I wasn't as impressed as everybody is.
Really?
Let him win 10 games with that. I mean, that league's got the best defensive coordinators in the world, so let's just see.
Well, behind the SEC, maybe, yes.
Yeah. But
it was fun to watch, though. I mean, the thing is, here's the thing for me, is for a guy like you who's an extremely casual, and that's probably an overstatement, extremely casual NFL fan, that offense is going to get people paying attention. In a way, I think it will, to some degree, for a while, like you said, I mean, as long as it remains somewhat effective, it will, I think, transcend to some degree the sport. In the same way that I wasn't a UNLV fan, but I would watch them back in the day when they were really good just to see what the heck they were going to do on a given day.
Michael Vick's going to get hurt in it.
Yeah, that could be.
He's too exposed, and he's never he's played one full season in his whole career without getting hurt. He's not that big a guy.
No, he isn't. It's hard to hit somebody hard, though, when you're out of breath. But we'll see. If he can avoid contact. He took one shot that he didn't need to take the other day. He sort of dove head first and took a shot. But he that's a good point. I mean, that's always the big key with this thing is can you keep your extremely talented dual-threat quarterback healthy? And the thing is, you know, Bill Vickery always says, you know, if you got a dual-threat quarterback, that means you got a guy that can't throw very well. Well, in his case, that's been at some times. I mean, he's not been the most accurate guy, but you would think this fits him better than anything else does.
You know, Manziel's one of those few that can actually pass the ball. He doesn't throw it. He passes it and can run.
He's an interesting situation, certainly this week. You know, he has developed into, and I know he worked with this quarterback guru, which I'm sure you put about as much stock in as I do a lot of other stuff. But anyway, it's all of a sudden he wants to be a pocket passer. He's certainly very dangerous, and a big key for him last year was being able to move not only around the pocket, which he did well. I mean, he did move around the pocket and avoid sacks and then deliver passes, not just pull it down and run against Alabama, but he also ran well against them. But he is seriously determined to be a pocket guy. He threw for 400 yards last week.
Well, someone's told him to help his stock in the NFL. He's got to learn to stay in that pocket. Because he gets hit in the NFL, it's going to be a serious hit.
If we're going to do the Acme or the Wally Hall question of the day, I would ask you this. What makes them more effective as a team, though? I'm not worried about his NFL stock, especially if I'm Kevin Sumlin. What makes them more effective as a team? Him running and throwing or him being an extremely effective pocket passer?
Him running and throwing.
I think so, too.
Yeah, Sumlin's not getting paid to train players for the NFL.
Good point. Nobody's training you to do both, I suppose. So it's going to be obviously the big game of the weekend. It's already been – I mean, and as if College Game Day's three-hour lead-up wasn't enough – now they're also on campus all week, which I'm honestly – the thing is you can't turn down the marketing opportunity from a university, even when you're Alabama. But at the same time, you know, you got to believe that Nick Saban hates the distractions.
I don't think he's distracted. I don't think this stuff gets to him.
What about his players, though? They had his players in the lunchroom today talking about, you know, pregame smoothies and stuff. I mean, they're in there live with Shannon Spake. I don't know if he loves that or not.
I don't think he would like that. That's got to be part of an ESPN
– yeah.
Payola deal.
Right. And that's the thing. Again, it's millions of dollars worth of marketing. And if you're a prospective student athlete and you see ESPN reporters hanging out in your lunchroom, in your training table area at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, it's a pretty good marketing tool for them. I mean, it's a distinct advantage for schools like that.
It's a prelude to what's about to happen next year when they become the SEC network.
There was that. It's going to get probably worse, not better.
Well, because they're all about content then.
Yeah,
they've got to air 24 hours a day.
Got to fill with something, right? And how much volleyball can they put on there? Some games this weekend. I do want to note for folks that are paying attention to such things. Arkansas A is a 22-point favorite this week. It's hard for me to seriously consider this game or to seriously discuss this game. I don't even feel uncomfortable saying Arkansas is going to cover easily. I don't know how I felt about last week, but I feel pretty good saying this is a really bad team and they're not going to have a problem covering. Rutgers, meanwhile, Arkansas's next opponent, I do take extremely seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Rutgers is at home this week. Rutgers is at home against an Eastern Michigan team that's not very good. They are almost a four-touchdown favorite this week. So for those of you who are curious about what Rutgers is up to this week, they basically have an easier game than Arkansas does. I'll put it to you that way. Did you watch any of their game the first week against Fresno?
I did catch a little bit of that. That's
their best test today. And with all due respect to Arkansas, I'm not sure they're as good as Fresno is right now.
Maybe not.
Yeah. But that's a great test for them, certainly.
But one note on this game with Southern Miss, they never put the best game of the day at 11:15 in the morning.
Almost never. And Arkansas is the second game of the day. So if that makes you feel good, there you go. There's an 11 o'clock kick, too.
Oh.
I think the Louisville-Kentucky game's at 11. With just the fact that Louisville's in it makes it a good game. But anyway, I'm almost sure that's right. We looked at the schedule yesterday. We'll have to check that again. Other games that are notable this weekend. Illinois, a team that has been very good in the early going. They won by a pretty good margin last weekend in a game that was relatively close on the line. Is playing Washington, a team that also, as I picked in week one, there's some dispute, according to Wally Hall, whether or not I picked Washington to beat Boise, but it did. And they crushed Boise. Play in Chicago against Illinois. And both teams have been surprisingly good in the early going, so that'll be a good matchup. The line on that game is 9.5. The A&M game, A&M is catching 7.5 at home, which if I was betting, I would probably go that route, although I think Alabama
might. Is this more proof that Ron Zook could recruit but not coach?
Probably so. Alabama might win outright in the A&M game, but I don't like them necessarily to cover the Vegas number.
What is the number?
It is 7.5. Texas and Mississippi. This week, a game being played in Austin. I did see something from Kirk Bowles, who writes for the Austin American Statesman. He said that if, for some reason, Mack Brown is not there anymore, Will Muschamp would be at the top or near the top of the list. I'm not sure why. I think there are probably five or six guys that would be a lot hotter commodities. Nevertheless, it is a 4-point line this week. What's your gut feeling on that game, or 4.5-point line this week?
I kind of like Texas because they're restructuring. And they've got something to prove now. Mm-hmm. And they need to make sure the wheels don't come off.
Yeah.
But would you really take Will Muschamp, who just lost to Miami?
Mm-mm. I've not been impressed with him from the get-go.
I admit, yes, he's got a very cute wife.
He'll rah-rah you into a win. I believe that. But I also am not sold on the fact that he's more substance than meathead. And I like the guy a lot. He's very pleasant to be around. I mean, he was a great interview. I'm just not sold on the fact that he's going to run Florida back to the glory days.
He seems to be as focused on defense as Bobby Petrino was on offense.
That may be. And you see what happens on the other side of the ball when that happens.
Right. You got to have balance.
I don't know who his OC is. They didn't look very good the other day.
No.
They have not had very good quarterback play, though. And as we've seen, whether you're talking about college or pro, it's tough to win without good quarterback play. Yeah, I'm not sure about that whole deal either. I'm also not sold on the fact that they won't rebound, play better, win the conference, and Mack Brown will be there next year anyway. The question becomes, how long does he want to go? And how many years do you go without being in the national championship conversation before you get run out of town?
I'm not sure they're going to bounce back now and win the conference.
I just don't. The problem is for the rest of the conferences, they're not very good either.
It's a bad league this year.
It is.
And Baylor's putting up big numbers again.
Maybe Baylor wins. That would be pretty cool, actually.
You know, it'd be different.
Oregon's playing Tennessee. Oregon's a 4-touchdown favorite against Tennessee. The Vols about to be brought back to earth, unfortunately, but they did have a good win last week over by Petrino and forced a bunch of turnovers. And one of the other interesting games this week that has nothing to do with Arkansas, unless you count the fact that we had one of the, probably the ultimate Nebraska legend in town this week, in Tom Osborne, which was a great thrill for me to be able to visit with him. UCLA traveling to Nebraska, the return game this week. And Nebraska's coach talking as usual, not doing a whole heck of a lot more coaching-wise. But 4.5-point favorite Nebraska is, and he's saying it's payback time for the loss last year to UCLA. UCLA team has come a long way. You want to talk about a guy that should be a hot commodity? Should be Jim Mora.
Oh, absolutely.
He is he was a good coach. Did a good job in Atlanta, just didn't do quite well enough, according to them. And certainly that's all worked out for them. It's working out fine for him. everybody seems to be doing okay.
And since he left, what, Central Florida?
Who?
Mora. Wouldn't he have?
I don't remember him leaving. I thought he went for, I didn't remember him having a job in between Atlanta, but maybe he did.
Oh, I'm thinking of someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's, that's who Texas ought to be looking at.
It's a guy that should be in the mix. Who, I mean, who are, you're talking about the elite of the elite. So who's Texas interested in if they go that route? I'm looking for something on Mora in the meantime, but tell me who you think they go for.
Oh, I think the Texas being Texas, and there's arrogance, and there's Texas. They'll call. They'll try to get a filler out to Saban, but he'd be crazy to leave. Although, honestly, is there really a better job for recruiting than Texas? The state of Texas puts out 300 D1 players a year, and you get to pick.
There shouldn't be a
right.
better job than Texas. No.
It's in the capital city, the facility. They got the biggest football budget in America.
What about Petrino? Is Petrino in the mix if he wins big this year?
I'd be surprised.
If he's in it?
Yeah, for a job that big, yeah.
What about USC when they fire Lane Kiffin? Because that's as likely as anything this coming season.
I could see him going out west and getting a job.
Yeah.
Getting as far away from the accident as he could.
Somebody said, I don't remember who wrote it. Maybe it was Clay Travis or somebody online, and they quoted it to me. They said, you know, they'll look the other way on things that you shouldn't be doing. They said at USC, adultery isn't a major news story. It's Monday.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it would be as huge a deal. He would certainly blend in the big city out there much better. But that would be fun. It would be interesting to see him at the reins of a program like USC with the kind of athletes you want to talk about, being able to get some playmakers.
But USC is one of those schools that has a lot of boosters, and they expect access to the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And these are wealthy, wealthy people. That's not Bobby's forte. Bobby's forte is locking himself in his office and coming up with an offensive scheme to beat you.
Yeah, but if you get hungry enough to win, people will do just about anything we've seen.
Yeah, they'll put up with a lot.
Ask the Oklahoma State folks. How much legitimacy are you putting in this deal?
I'm giving it some because there were 25 players.
Yeah.
If it had been one or two guys, you're thinking sour grapes or, you know, their career didn't pan out. But some of the guys that are being named are denying it. So, and if they were paying, they weren't paying very well because – Oklahoma State didn't win the national championship. If you're going to buy somebody, go out and get Cam Newton for crying out loud.
It wasn't too long they were in the conversation.
No, they were in it. You're right.
I mean, they were a loss to Iowa State away from being in the game, probably.
That was an upset, wasn't it?
Pretty big one. I enjoyed it.
I know you did.
Worked out great for me. Okay, so one more thing on Mora before we move on. And if you went in today, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. Jim Mora and the UCLA family had a loss this last week, I guess. And I wasn't real familiar with the story because I was out of town and didn't follow other college stories very closely. But a UCLA player was killed in a car accident, mm-hmm. and he was speaking to reporters about this yesterday. And, I mean, we've seen some incidents in press conferences that sort of, you know, like there was a reporter a couple years ago that tried to interview Bobby Petrino during a press conference wearing a Florida hat. Dumb. Maybe didn't need to be made quite the example of that she was, although it was a pretty stupid thing to do. There have been other incidents as well. This one is a no-brainer. This one you have to side with the coach, I would think. He's trying to pay respect to a kid, a player on his team who was killed, and the reporter took a phone call in the middle of the press conference. So I think everybody can probably figure out how that went.
I think he says more with his stare he gives the guy.
Yeah, it's better video than it is audio, but we're going to play the audio. And today, obviously, is a day where we're going to do a lot of remembering, folks. And this is a moment for Jim Mora, talking about one of his players, somebody that's very close to him. And for a reporter to be as stupid, and I don't care what Jim Mora is, I don't care if he's talking about the game plan for the coming game against Nebraska. For him to take a phone call in that is unfathomable to me. To even think about picking up a phone call in a room.
It's totally unprofessional.
I wouldn't even do that in the middle of Chuck's sermons on Sunday. And sometimes I really would want to.
Oh, come on.
Every week, though, my grandfather calls me right in the middle of the sermon. I have to silence it, and then I call him back. But, I mean, who takes a phone call in the middle of a press conference?
Your grandfather's trying to get you back to your religion.
He is, and I'm already there. Little did he know. He's trying to bring me back to my old religion, maybe.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, that's what you're saying. I think he's giving up. Here's Jim Mora and the press conference from yesterday. Very uncomfortable.
Well, thanks for being here. First of all, certainly, as you can understand, it's a very tragic time. A very difficult time here with the loss of Nick. First and foremost, our thoughts and prayers are with his family. That's the most important thing. Got to spend quite a bit of time with him yesterday, and it's obviously a very difficult time, as we can all imagine. And so we're just praying for him and his mother and his aunts and uncles and grandparents and sisters and brothers. So our players are dealing with it, each in their own way, and we think that's the right way to do it. I think the important thing is that they're together. They're there to support each other. This is a very close team, as everyone knows. They care desperately about each other. And Nick was a young man that had a tremendous influence in our locker room. And while he only played a few plays on the field in his career at UCLA,
Stop.
Hey, shut up. Disrespect to some people is unbelievable to me. Just unbelievable. Anyway. Don't tell me to go on. I'll go on. I'm ready to go on. Why don't you take your butt out of here if you're going to be disrespectful?
I apologize. I didn't mean to.
Well, you were.
I'm sorry.
Pretty live room they're in right there. I mean, the reporter should have known. Unbelievable.
You know what? I'm betting it's a student newspaper.
No way. You think?
Young people that young?
Just think it's okay to take a call anytime?
Yeah.
It's pretty dumb.
I guarantee you wasn't anybody from the LA Times.
Think so? Okay, yeah. Well, maybe not. Pretty dumb. I commend Jim Moore for his restraint. I might have got up and smacked the kid. But anyway.
I'd have called him up.
Yeah, I would have called him by name for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't know his name. I don't know. His name's Nick, I think. Somebody said Nick, trying to get him to put his phone down.